podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hummel Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hummel Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hummel Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, I think the first question I need to ask of Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is, were you ready to jump in and perform the Heimlich maneuver after the game yesterday, if necessary, to save Mike Schilt's life?
Holy cow.
I remember taking CPR for like a lifeguard class in high school. That was the last time I was prepared to, on paper, save someone's life. So I was not prepared, but I did feel a little bit of concern because, yeah, he was coughing for, it seemed like, a minute straight. It was probably only like 10 seconds.
Did you write it down as a good reporter did in your notes? Cough, cough, cough. I mean, what does that look like?
Cough, 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 cough.
No, as a bad reporter, I did not even have a pen on me. I had my notebook. I didn't have a pen. But, yeah, it was a little worrisome there for a little bit. But thankfully, he was okay.
Well, also worrisome, Dennis, is the Padres' offensive output at home. We've talked at length, right, this morning on this show and with you even. There is no cavalry coming, right, other than the guys coming back that are injured. And they're big guys. They're big names. But, you know, there is no body in the minor leagues really to call up. Camposano potentially, you know, maybe the sixth time is the charm for Luis Camposano, maybe not. But right now, do you get the sense at all that AJ has to be exploring what potentially is out there that you could get and at how much money, right? Like, he has to be exploring other options than Yuli Gurriel and guys of that ilk right now.
Oh, you know, yes. It's just a matter of like what tier he's looking at. You know, about a year ago this time, I think even earlier, they signed Donovan Solano to a minor league deal. They later picked up David Peralta. Obviously, those two guys ended up being very good additions, especially for the bench. They traded for Luis Arraez around this time. At the same time, right now, they don't have the depth in the minor league system that they had a year ago to trade from. It's always kind of hit and miss with the waiver wire and, claiming guys who are discarded from other teams. So I don't know how much you can bank on AJ finding another Donovan Solano and or David Peralta. That being said, there are guys who are still unsigned. I know they showed interest in Anthony Rizzo over the offseason. He's a guy who's made a lot of money in his career, so I don't know if he'd be willing to come back and play for us. Say, I don't know, $1 million. I would probably lean toward that being a no, but yeah. Padres don't seem to be in place right now, at least with their budget, where they're prone to spend major dollars on somebody. So you're probably looking for right now before the trade market really gets going, and we can never discount again, AJ making a early trade for someone significant since he did it last year with Arraez. But you're probably looking at, guys, I mean, just look at the Rays. They picked up Travis Jankowski and he got a couple hits and a run yesterday in a 2-run game. So you might be looking at, that kind of tier guy. But right now the Padres do have to shake something up, it seems like.
Dennis, I said earlier this morning, if I knew the Padres were going to have Gavin Sheets hitting second all year and Oscar Gonzalez hitting fifth all year long, and this was just the lineup, then I would be concerned. It's not deep enough to put together a ton of rallies. But I know players are coming back, and I saw what they did earlier in the season. I guess the worry for fans is, was that the mirage? And when when Jackson Merrill and Luis Arraez and Jake Cronenworth and Jason Hayward come back, are they also going to continue to struggle like everybody else is, or will they start playing? I mean, maybe not quite as good as they did early. But are they going to just start picking up where they left off, essentially, and playing good baseball? Wait, where do you kind of land on that side of the fence of, yeah, this is a really good team that's going through a bad stretch because of injuries, or there are actual deeper concerns that were being somewhat obscured by the fact that they were getting some breaks and everything was just going their way for the first 3 weeks of the season.
I thought Mike Schilt put it well after yesterday's game, to just briefly paraphrase him. I think he said something along the lines of, it's not as easy as they made it look, you know, the first couple weeks of the season, and it's not as bad as it is right now, or as bad as it feels right now, that is. So, yeah, they're somewhere in between, probably those two extremes. And, you know, with apologies to Mike, this has been a roller coaster, because we've seen their ceiling in their first 2 weeks of the season, and then we've seen their floor, which is, you know, partly due to guys being out. But I think another fact that we have to point out is, you know, guys are going to continue to be out or to get injured. Unfortunately, that's just part of the game. So you can't just bank on all those guys returning and being 100% or everybody staying healthy eventually. It's going to happen, unfortunately, reality of the game. So, and also, I don't think you can bank on the bullpen keeping up this 1.6 ERA all season. So they've really been saved by their bullpen in quite a few games, not so much recently when you can't score at all. But I think, just the reality of this team is it's not as good as it was the first 2 weeks of the season, obviously, and not as bad it is as things seem right now. So a lot of that's going to bank or hinge on the injury returns for a few guys. But at the same time, you know, guys are going to continue to have to step up, and there are guys who are going to have to come up from the minors or, you know, from outside the organization and step up and help this organization.
Yeah, as it turns out, last year was just one of those kiddie coasters at the fair on the infield that go up like 2 feet and then down 2 feet. This is Six Flags. This is the highest roller coaster now, you know, careening down to the bottom woods, you know, it looking like about as bad as a team that you've got right now. This is a true roller coaster.
Well, no question. And, you know, I know you wrote about it in your latest piece, the Xander Bogaerts kind of spiral, free fall, whatever you want to call it, not living up to expectations since he got here. I mean, look, he takes a lot of criticism, and I think a lot of it is well deserved. We have said before, he's an accountable guy. He'll get in front of the media and say, I suck. But I think at some point, you know, you do want to see results. And, you know, you nailed it here. Chasing his first home run, he's not driven in a run in 16 games. You know, I don't know where you hit Xander if you're Mike Schilt. In the driving and run position of cleanup is kind of a tough look. Dennis, I don't know where you put him. I really don't. And I don't quite know what's wrong with Xander Bogaerts.
I agree. I mean, if Tershore Nellis had come up and was setting the world on fire right away, that would make it easier for the coaching staff to justify hitting, you know, Xander maybe sixth or seventh right now. But with their injuries and the amount of guys they have out and the guys who come up from AAA, kind of showing why the PCL is the PCL. It's they really hitter-friendly league for a reason. I mean, you don't have a lot of choice. I guess, yeah, you could put him ninth, but you have a couple catchers who barely have any hits over the last couple weeks. Although, you know, I guess Elias Diaz had that home run in Detroit. But, yeah, that's not something you can expect every day. They're paying Xander a lot of money. They have to hope that he turns around. I don't think, you know, putting him eighth or ninth in the lineup would be great for his confidence, which can't be high right now. But, yeah, everyone's pressing on this team, and it's April, so everything's amplified and magnified. So I think some of this just needs more time to play out. I know a lot of, you know, fans are already tired of, you know, certain players and Xander being a, you know, prime target because of his contract. But, he's a guy who's done it before. You know, he's not getting any younger. That goes without saying. But, you know, he's a guy who's going to have to step up and produce.
And talking to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods this morning, Ben, and Dennis, tell us, like, it's one thing to hear it from us. They get tired. I'm tired of talking about it, to be honest. But to hear it from you, I mean, you're really stuck in this deal. Like, you're stuck right now. No one's going to want – nobody's going to want to trade for a player with declining numbers and value, right? Nobody wants to pay for that. They're not going to eat his contract. There's no team in baseball that's going to say, yeah, we'll take him off your hands, right? I mean, you really are kind of stuck here. There aren't many options. And the Padres, I don't know the current state of their finances, but I know they can't afford to eat $250 million. That I do know.
Yeah, and can they afford to trade like Ethan Salas away from him just to eat, I don't know, half the contract right. And just spitballing here. I know, I mean, but this was discussed in the offseason. It was probably kicked around a little bit internally at Petco Park. You know, how do we shed some money here? And obviously, they didn't really end up shedding much money. They ended up taking on just a little bit of money, but they had a lot of internal raises from contracts that were that included, you know, raises to guys. And Xander is their shortstop right now. It's kind of, I guess, ironic on a team that theoretically has so many shortstops. The guy playing shortstop or starting a shortstop right now is the guy who's underperforming the most. And defensively, he's clearly not the same guy that he was a couple years ago, or even just last year, it seems like, before he got hurt with a shoulder injury. But yeah, I think if this keeps up, you know, pretty much all season, you're going to hear those talks again next offseason. You know, the Padres are looking to maybe attach some prospect capital, what limited prospect capital they have potentially. But, you know, AJ always seems to find ways to guys to zoom up the prospect rankings. So if he can, you know, get a team like, I don't know, the Boston Red Sox, if they're feeling nostalgic to take Xander Bogaert's contract, I expect that'll be a conversation to be had in the offseason again. But at the same time, it's early in this 11-year deal. So, yeah, they're just going to have to hope and pray that he comes around a little bit.
Prospects like David Morgan, who Woods and I have been saying for really years now, when is this guy going to get his chance?
I couldn't wait.
We constantly talked about David Morgan all spring training. I mean, you couldn't get us to shut up about it, honestly, Dennis. We had never heard of David Morgan.
Never heard his name. I swear to God, I have never heard his name.
This is why you're our insider. What did you know about David Morgan before they called him up?
Not much more than you, so I wouldn't feel too bad. Yeah, look, he wasn't on the 40-man roster before Logan Gillespie hurt his oblique the other day, and that's going to be an injury that keeps him out for a while. But David Morgan, you know, to his credit, has really risen up the ranks since he was an infielder and not a pitcher at Orange Coast College up the road in, you know, Orange County. And he started pitching, I think, his final year in college in 2022. And as a former position player, he's athletic. He's pretty jacked, so he throws hard. So that's always nice. But, yeah, it sounds like he developed a nice slider in the minor leagues, has a career ball to go with it. So, yeah, guy who's struck out the world in Double-A so far this season. And, you know, they had an opening with Logan going down. So, yeah, good for a guy getting a chance. And, by the way, he played for, you know, John Altobelli at Orange Coast College. So it's a nice story of a guy who, you know, obviously John Altobelli passed away in the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash about 5 years ago. And I think his wife and one of his daughters was with him, so very tragic. And I think he's a guy who sounds like, you know, had a big impact on a lot of people, including David Morgan. So a nice story of a guy who's, you know, I think honoring a former mentor by coming up to the majors.
That's pretty cool.
Thank you for being on top of things for us, Dennis. That's what you're here for. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Appreciate you.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, brought to you by Hummel Casino, our Padres, Ben and Woods Lynn Cider.